I've ever known is you. The only light I see when all is dark and there's no peace. I know that I have you. I am because of you. When I have tried and failed to understand all that's in your plan, when I fall short and lose my way, you never place the blame. You love me just the same, yeah. La,
la. Alright folks, welcome back to another episode of What Is TWS Podcast. I am J-Dot Flan, and this is a continuation of the Evening with Flan Road to Recovery series, part 5. If you're not familiar with the series, this is me documenting my journey toward recovery from alcoholism, as well as the recovery, I guess, of my family. To recap, my wife had to make the decision not too long ago to leave the house with my daughter because of my drinking, and I've been on the path to try to correct all of that ever since, and sharing it with you good folks because y'all family. But yet that track in the beginning is Because of You by Levi Stevens, a guy I met back home in DC, incredible artist, and he probably has no idea how much that particular song has meant to me since I heard it the first time. It's always been like a calming sort of song. It's helped me focus before tests. It's helped me get through some tough times. So I wanted to start with that one, kind of zen out a little bit. And then what we got playing in the background right now is a J Dilla instrumental, So Far from the Diary of Dilla. For Christmas, I was so lucky to be gifted a vinyl copy of this album, this instrumental album, by my wife. So I wanted to incorporate that in today's episode. I'm in a pretty good mood. Don't let the zened out prayer like feel of the first track fool you. I'm not like in a I need prayer kind of mood. I'm in a pretty good mood. Christmas was good. Christmas was great. Christmas went about as well as it possibly could, and I'm thankful for that. I'll just get right into it. The good news is that at least for now, temporarily, my wife has moved back into the house. My wife and daughter are back in the house. We celebrated Christmas as a family. It was a nice Christmas. I felt pretty bad because my wife got me, she called them cheesy gifts. You know, I got like socks and drawers, you know, like the typical dad Christmas gifts. But I'm actually at the age where like socks and drawers is vicious ass gifts. Like I was just like, man, I'm running out of socks. Can't find no socks. The hardest part of me getting dressed every morning is finding a pair of socks. And then, bam, Christmas, mad socks. You know, I always need drawers. You know, I have been living the bachelor life. So, laundry does not get done as often as you would like when you live in that bachelor life. So some fresh drawers was a welcome appearance, you know. Glad to have them. Feel blessed. So socks and drawers was definitely something I needed. I also got like a little caddy to hold my remotes because I'm one of those dads that like has like 300 remotes to the TV. It's like the TV remote, the Fire TV remote, there's a remote for my NAS I got hooked up to the TV. There's a remote for the soundbar. Like too many remotes, and I don't have like a universal remote. And I always can't find the particular remote I need. So I got a little remote caddy, and that's real dope. And I got some puzzles and stuff, so I can look like smart. Those work puzzles, like shit you can put on your desk and look like you that dude that like knows how to take that apart and put it back together. Like, but not as cliche as the Rubik's Cube. No diss to dude in my office with all the Rubik's Cubes on your desk, but you know, I just couldn't. You already did it. I couldn't. You know, I couldn't do that. And my wife didn't even know, you know, about the Rubik's Cube at his desk. You know, she just, I guess she got something that she thought fit me, and it actually did. It fit very well, and I'm excited to, like, have those on my desk to show them off and pretend like I'm smarter than I am. I'm really looking forward to it. And then, like, as if, you know, Christmas hadn't been dope enough. I think last year, either for Christmas or my birthday, she got me a little turntable. And then this year, she turned around and got me some vinyl. Two Dilla albums on vinyl. So I sat and just had an old school moment and played some beats on the turntable on vinyl. It was like I felt real hip hop. I felt like mad hip hop for like 30 minutes. It was dope. That was my Christmas. I hope your Christmas was good. What else happened? Not a lot else happened. I mean, I guess that's like overshadowing everything else. It's the fact that my wife and daughter were in the house and we did, you know, I got to wake my daughter up and, you know, and make the flan cakes. They're not pancakes in my house, they're flan cakes. And that's a Christmas tradition. So Dad made the flan cakes. My wife made a beautiful dinner, pot roast with some potatoes. We had friends come over. They brought a ham that was vicious. We had some pulled chicken, sweet potatoes. I mean, it was the regular spread. It was a good, you know, good Christmas spread, especially for, you know, refugees like us that couldn't make it back home, couldn't afford two trips this year. So to be, you know, away from home, but to still be surrounded by family and friends. You know, my wife's cousin and her boyfriend came in, and we had, you know, close friends here that came with their daughter. So, you know, we had the two girls that could run around and play with each other, and, you know, adults sitting at the table having conversation. I did make it through the entire holiday without any real craving or anything like that. I think my wife's cousin's boyfriend brought over beer, and you know, he had a beer or two out, you know, while he was watching the games, and it didn't bother me at all. I will say one thing that did bother me. So he brought over the beer, and he brought, you know, more beer than he drank, and so let me say this first, people. If you know I have a podcast, and if you've listened to any of the podcasts, then you usually know that I'm very, like, open and will tell all my personal business on the podcast. I don't hold nothing back on the podcast. So when you see me, like, months later, and you ask me how I'm doing or anything, like, immediately what that tells me is you don't listen to the podcast. You know, so, you know, dude that came by has actually been on an episode of the podcast that we just haven't aired because weird shit happened and we just never put it out. But he's been on the podcast. So not only does he know I have a podcast, but he's been on the podcast. But clearly he has not listened to any of the most recent episodes because he brought, you know, beer to the house and then left it. Like, it's okay to bring it to the house. I have no problem with people drinking around me. But, you know, leaving it here, like, it's nothing. I can't do nothing with it. It's just going to cause, like, a little weirdness between my wife and I. And so what happened was he left, you know, the leftover beer, and then my wife used red wine or something in the pot roast. And then the next morning, so one of the rules that we have now that she's back in the house is that I have to use the breathalyzer in the car, whether I'm driving or not. So twice a day, in the morning and night, I go in and I use the breathalyzer. So I go in the morning and use the breathalyzer, and like all in the bottom, like in the driver's side, like floor mat, is just the beer and the wine. Like she took it out the refrigerator and like put it in the car, and I felt a certain kind of way, like that was just like, you know, I don't believe you cannot do it. Like, yeah, you know, it bothered me. But I understand it. I understand it completely. And you know, I was able to get over it. Like, I didn't hold on to it and be like, I'm mad at you because you took the beer out the house. Like, I didn't have no reason to be mad. It just hurt my feelings a little bit, I guess, you know. But I have not earned, you know, that kind of trust or that kind of confidence in my ability to not make the wrong decision. So, but yeah, it just hurt my feelings because I have been working really hard and really taking, you know, this recovery effort seriously. And it was just like, that was just a reminder that, you know, this is the damage that I've done, and this is how people see me right now. Like, you know, it can't even be in the house, so I'ma drink it. Like, not even the wine you use to cook is safer than here. It's flan to drink, whatever it is. So that was the only, not the only downside to my Christmas. The other downside to my Christmas, and I talked about this in the previous episode, is I was playing for 3 fantasy football championships over the holiday. And 2 out of 3 ain't bad. I won 2, but the one I lost was the one I really wanted to win. And I'm trying to, like, you know, put that in perspective. Like, you're still a great fantasy football player. Your track record is dope as fuck. You lost one, like, but it's like the public one. And, you know, I know people got stuff to say or whatever. It fucking hurt. And now I gotta pay out. Like, it's different when, you know, you lose, you know you're not gonna get the money. Like, you was hoping you was gonna win that money, and then you lost, so you don't get that money. But it's like, not only do I not get the money, but I am the person responsible for paying out the person who beat me. So I lost, and now I have to write a check to somebody for those winnings. So it's like a double knife to the chest, but I'm gonna get over it. I still wouldn't fuck with me in fantasy football if I were you. I'm pretty fucking dope. But yeah, that was my holiday. And like I said, pretty dope. We got my daughter a little a Strider, one of those bikes, like the balance joints that are supposed to teach you balance and everything. They don't have pedals, but I really don't understand, like, the science behind it. Every time I look at this thing, I'm like, this what? Like, she just, like, straddles it and walks. Like, I don't understand what it teaches you, but apparently it teaches you something. And I'm going to lean on the understanding of people smarter than me. And we're going to go with it. She got it. And she got it. We'll see what happens next. The weird thing is, I don't know how to ride a bike. So now I've got to participate in teaching someone how to do something that I don't know how to do. And I'm tired of, like, trying to learn how to ride a bike. Like, at 36, you is no way to do it and not look like just the dumbest motherfucker alive. Like, there's no way I can go where I'm, like, trying to get on the bike and falling and shit. I'm 36. Like, there's nowhere. I've tried to do it before, and it's like you're trying to find these cuts because you don't want nobody to see you at 36. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, looking like a 5-year-old. Like, so I'm done. Right, fuck a bike. I don't want to ride a bike. All my bike riding years are behind me. Kiss my ass with bikes. Like, I'm done with that. But now I got to teach my daughter how to do something I don't know how to do. So, strange times. What else? All right, so the thing I wanted to talk about specifically in terms of recovery, because I will try to keep this podcast on topic. I have run into some weirdness in treatment and meetings that I'm trying to figure out how to work through. One, we had a long talk in one of my last treatment sessions about forgiveness. And I think, you know, and we were sitting there. He was asking us, you know, if we had people we needed to forgive. And I was, like, racking my brain, like, man, do I need to forgive anybody? Like, I couldn't really think of people that I've been hurt by that, you know, I needed to forgive. And then all of a sudden it dawned on me, like, my dad. Like, I need to figure out how to forgive my father. And that is going to be, I think, one of the major hurdles to me following this path, to me following these steps, is that, one, I realized that he didn't come to mind right away because I hate to put it this way, I really don't think about my, like, in my mind, more often than not, my father doesn't exist. Like, I don't even think about having a father, you know? Like, I think if you have a dad, like, you're aware that you have a dad. Or, I mean, let me change that, because I have a dad. But if your dad is in your life, then you are aware of a father's presence in your life. And when things happen, you know, you either have recent memories or something to fall back on to remind you, oh yeah, you know, there's dad. You know, something, may you maybe walking down the street and see something you and your dad did together. So, oh yeah, dad. Like, I don't have that. So on majority of days, the idea of that I have a father never comes to mind. And so when it, you know, when we're sitting there talking about people I need to forgive, like, it's just the furthest thing from my mind, because I don't even, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even understand the concept of having a dad. Like, I don't, it's not a part of my reality, and it's become so separated from my reality that, like, yeah, honestly, you know, in my mind, he doesn't exist until he exists, until he does something or sends me a text message or something. It's like, oh yeah, there's that dude again. What's up? You know, and then it's gone again. But it's like, and that's how far. So it's not even like hate anymore. It's not even like a negative emotion. It's no emotion. But when my wife and I were talking, and you know, she was, you know, about the forgiveness thing, that really did like strike something with me. Like, that really did send me to a dark place in terms of how I felt about having to forgive. And I don't know. That is going to be a tough one for me. I will probably discuss it more on this show, because I get the feeling that it is the long pole in the tent for me right now, is figuring out how I'm going to be able to do that. And the sickest part about it is that I definitely feel the pressure to do it, because I feel like at this point, I'm in the exact same situation that he probably was once in, and I want someone to forgive me. I want my wife to forgive me, and I want my daughter, you know, to forgive me. I know she doesn't understand, but you know, I'm looking to repair damage that I've done to my family. I'll say, and, you know, and I feel even bad for Black Guy. The difference between us is, like, I really don't want to place myself anywhere above, you know, my dad. But I do think that a major part about being able to forgive somebody is that I acknowledge that I've done something wrong. Like, my wife can see how remorseful I am, and how willing I am to do whatever is necessary to try to fix it, with no guarantees that that's going to, you know, change anything, you know, in regards to our situation. Like, I'm going to work regardless. I'm going to work, and I'm going to hope, and I'm never going to give up hope. And that just makes me even more angry with the way things, you know, have turned out between me and my dad. Like, I have that little girl, and I have my wife, and they're like the most precious things in the world to me. And the idea of not having them, even for, you know, it was only about a month, maybe a month and a half, but just that idea that I would never have those moments again, or you know, of waking up with my wife, or the three of us together, you know, Christmas or whatever, that was almost too much to bear. So I can't understand how somebody could, you know, put in the amount of time that I've had away from my pops, you know. So yeah, as you can hear, it's a major one for me, but it's one I'm gonna have to get over, because I definitely see the similarities now. Like, I'm asking for the same type of forgiveness, you know. I'm asking for someone, you know, that I've wronged, that I've endangered, that I was in no way the husband or the father that I should have been, and I'm asking for a second chance. And whether you're asking for it, you know, a month after you made the mistake, or 30 years after you making the mistake, it's the same thing. And that's what I'm gonna have to use to try to find the place in my heart to forgive him. And what I don't understand is whether or not forgiveness includes like a relationship. I think I'm past the point of wanting a relationship. I'm really past that point. But is that me not forgive? Do I not want a relationship because I haven't forgiven him? Like, if I forgave him, should I be open to a relationship? I don't know. You know, if you guys have thoughts on that, you know, let me know. If you can help me figure it out, if you've been through it already, I appreciate it. You know, give me some advice. Let me know what's good. Oh man, my phone rings. It's not supposed to happen during the podcast. Back to the music. All right. So, man, and speaking of that, I've been meaning to do that for a while. If you want to talk, if you're out there and And anything I've discussed during this series has, you know, struck a chord with you, and you just want to chat, you want to chop it up, you got some advice for me, you want some advice, whatever, please feel free to email me. It's Flan, F-L-A-N, at whatistws.com. That's all one word, whatistws.com. Flan at whatistws.com. Email me whatever. I promise you I will respond. But yeah, reach out if you want to. I could always use a voice other than mine. Fuck it though. All right. So the other thing I'm dealing with, and this may be related, is I seem to have an issue with like older black dudes. And maybe it's like a specific type of older black dude. It may be related to my dad, like people who remind me of my father. But there are people I'm around in these meetings, and they just, you know, and I'm trying to let it go, but they just rub me the wrong way. I got the things that they say and the things that they seem to stand for just bother me to no end. And it's like it shouldn't bother me that much. Like, I shouldn't allow how somebody else feels and how somebody else acts to send me to the places that these dudes send me to. But it seems to be consistently like 50-year-old black dudes for some reason. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about that generation, or between your 50s and your 60s right now, we might not get along. I don't know. Is that like an authority thing? It's not. I don't think that it is. But it is very strange. And I go to these meetings, and it's like, it's always one, you know, one of my things is that, like, I make a shit ton of mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. But once I realize I made a mistake, you know, and I'm doing something to try to, like, rectify it, my major thing is like, owning. Like, the first step to getting past it, or the first step to correcting it, is owning it. Like I just said, you know, about my dad, like, if you can't acknowledge that you did anything wrong, you know, it's very difficult for a person to forgive you. It's like, forgive you for what? You don't even admit you did nothing. And it's like, you know, if I'm gonna get through this recovery, this alcoholism thing, I gotta say first that I'm an alcoholic. I gotta own that, and I gotta own everything that I did as an alcoholic. I gotta own the mindset, you know. And if I own it, then I have the ability to change it. If I can say it was me, I did that, then I have control over myself, so that I can change those actions and make sure it doesn't happen again. If I'm dealing with a person who won't admit they did it, who's talking to me about the system or the racist cops or whatever, it's like, I can't live that way. Because if the only reason I'm in this situation is because of a fucked up system or a racist cop, I don't have a whole lot of control over that, which means I gotta live for the rest of my life in fear that I may be right back in this situation no matter what I do. If I own it and I say it's me, and this is what I did to end up here, I can change those things to say that, you know, I have the power to determine whether or not I end up in this situation again. And that's the reality that I'd rather live in. And for some reason, I get like incensed around people who see it a different way. And I've got to stop that. Like, I've got to get past the expectation that you have to think of things the way I think of things, or I'm angry. Like, I don't know how to do that. That's so those are my two obstacles right now that I see. I'm sure there's a lot more obstacles, but the two obstacles that I see right now in my recovery effort is, I mean, I guess it all stems around forgiveness, my ability to forgive, and forgive people for me, not for them. And, you know, forgive people for, you know, the way that they think, or forgive people for what they've done. But I have to stop letting other people's actions, you know, control how I feel. Because going into those negative spaces, going into those spaces where I'm so angry at this individual because he said some dumb shit, you know, at a meeting, and now my chest is tight, you know, because I'm fucking angry. And, you know, and in the past, I would know, you know, my chest feels tight, I'm angry, I can't calm down. I know how to calm myself down. And that's when I would fall into, you know, that thing I'm not supposed to touch no more, that thing I won't touch no more. But anyway, So anyway, I gotta find a way to control it. And I think that's what this whole road to sobriety is teaching me, is that the focus is not about alcohol anymore. Like, the focus is not about not drinking. I think my counselor said it the best. He said, you know, this is not about dying sober. This is about finding a life that doesn't require alcohol. Finding a way to live that's not even an issue for you. That's not a thing for you anymore. Like, you know, maybe this is just me, but alcohol is fucking disgusting. It does not taste good. I did not drink vodka because it was delicious or refreshing in any way. I drank it for a purpose. I drank it to calm my nerves. I drank it to go to sleep. I drank it to get rid of inhibitions so I could, you know, feel like I was having fun, to socialize, whatever. But I did not drink it because it was good, or I really enjoyed it. So if I can find a life that allows me to sleep, that allows me to not have that tightness in my chest, that allows me to have fun, that allows me to socialize, then what do I need? I don't have to drink something that's disgusting, you know, if I can get the same effects through other means of living. So that's what I'm working on now. I'm working on trying to find a way to sit behind motherfuckers I can't stand and be able to stand them. Like, why do I dislike so many people? Like, man, I gotta work on it. I gotta work on why I'm so angry at other people all the time. Cause I don't wanna live that way. I wanna enjoy life. I wanna do my podcast. I wanna talk to my people. I wanna have fun. I wanna listen to music, vibe to some Dilla, and not give a fuck about you. I don't know. I apologize for all. I don't. I was gonna apologize for the curse word, but I don't. This is me. Enjoy. This is my life. And I am finding a place where I do enjoy life, where I'm able to let go of stresses. And I think if nothing else, I identify them quickly. You know, when I get that feeling in my chest, when I'm feeling that anger, I figure out where it's coming from. And I start having that discussion with myself about whether or not this is a worthy source. Like, if I'm stressing myself right now for something worth my stress, is what some 60-year-old man thinks worth my stress? You know, is things that didn't happen in my childhood 20, 25 years ago worth my stress right now? That may be reason enough to forgive and let go. Cause it's not worth the stress anymore. So y'all see what this podcast is. This whole series is me just getting to sit down and have a conversation without the annoyance of somebody talking back. Now, I'm just bullshit. I do sometimes wish y'all were here to talk to me. But this way I get to talk to you, and I get to sort it out and talk it out and hear the words. And sometimes just hearing the words, you know, helps things make sense. So as always, I appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all rolling with me on this journey. If you haven't listened to the other four episodes, you know, go back, check them out. See if they remind you of someone, if they remind you of yourself, if there's somebody that may need help. You can email me. But just reach out in any way if you need it. But, you know, as always, until I talk to y'all again, be safe and be the light. All right, peace.